This story, it kind of began back in chapter 28. We read this morning the first two verses where the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight against Israel. And Achish, if you want to just turn back there for a second, in verse 1 it says, Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And so, for the visitors especially, but just kind of reviewing even for all of us, as we've been studying through this book of 1 Samuel, and we know that in chapter 27, David, he said in his own heart, his heart led him to think that he was weary, he had been chased for years, for quite a long time, by Saul, and so he finally decided that one day Saul's going to catch up with me. I'm going to die. And so there's nothing better for me than to go to the land of the Philistines. And there Saul will stop hunting me. And so we read that. We saw that a couple of weeks ago. But that's where David has been for a year and 4 months. It tells us that he was in the land of the Philistines. And in hiding there, of course, I don't want to go back through the whole lesson we learned before, but it was a backslidden condition that David had come to. He listened to his own heart. He didn't pray about these things. He went there, and in going there, he had to compromise. He had to be deceptive, really. Because David, now, we know that David's going to be king over Israel. And he loves Israel. It's not that David was defecting from his homeland and that he really had, you know, given them up, or that he was not intending on ever going back or anything of that nature. David was simply hiding, but he led on to the king of Philistia as though he was done with Israel, as though he was an enemy of Israel now, that he had crossed over, he had become an ally to the Philistines, which was Israel's enemy. That's the position he had put himself in. Not only himself, but the 600 men that were following him. And so, of course, as we learned in that chapter, he needed to provide for himself, for his wife and wives and his family, but not only for them, for his men. And so they went out and they fought against some people in a remote area, and they conquered people and they took the spoils for themselves. And then they would come back to this area where Achish, the king of the Philistines, was. And when Achish asked them, "Where did you go? Where's these spoils coming from? Where have you been?" And David was very vague in his answer, you remember. He was vague because he was misleading, really, and saying, "Well, we were in the south of Judah," as though they had attacked Judah. And Achish clearly believed that he had attacked Israel and said, surely now David has made himself abhorrent in the eyes of his people, and now he will be our servant forever. And so when the Philistines decide to go to war against Israel, Achish says to David, "Hey, we're going to fight Israel. Come and join us." And that's the position David's in here, which you can see is a pretty, it's a big dilemma. It's a situation he's in that I don't know, what we read here, David seems kind of calm about this. Because, Achish said, "Come with us to battle against Israel." And he essentially says, "All right, you're going to find out what I can do." That's in chapter 28. But I can only imagine that in his heart, he thinks, "Oh boy, this is bad." Because what's he going to do? Do I go and fight against Israel? What's he going to go back and tell his 600 men? "Hey guys, we're going to war. Okay, where are we going? We're going to fight Saul and the Israelites." What? That's our home. Our cousins are there. Our our parents are back there. Our families are there. What? David, we can't fight Israel. Can you imagine what, you know, this, when he gives them this information? And it was quite a predicament. So, these men, they had been on the other side. They had seen the Philistine raids of their villages before. You know, the Philistines had come in and robbed and pillaged, basically. You know, they had remembered, it talked about Israel would plant their crops and then the Philistines would come in and take them. And now they're going to be part of this force. It was not a good thing. And of course, it would jeopardize David's position. If he was ever to be king, how could he go to war against Israel and then someday be king over them? That's obviously a bad situation. So, the first thing, really, my outline, I've given you point number one without telling you what it was. It was David was in a difficult situation. And this situation, as we say, was of his own making. David had made some bad decisions, and now he is facing the dilemma that brought them to. And then we see not only was David in a difficult situation, but David was also under dreadful suspicion. We read here in chapter 29, verses 1 through 5, where they were coming now, you know, their armies were getting ready, and they were passing by hundreds and thousands. Basically, it was like a parade. Armies that are getting ready to go into battle, some reason they love to parade themselves about, you know. And so here they come, the Philistine armies, you know, are coming, their companies are marching through, and they're going along, and all of a sudden, you know, in the rearward, all of a sudden here comes David and his band. And I think it was to the surprise of a lot of these Philistine generals. They look over there and they said, "What are these guys doing here?" Matter of fact, that's what they said, isn't it? Let me find the verse where they said, "What do these Hebrews here?" So help me out if you see it before I do. Verse 3, thank you. So the princes of the Philistines, yeah, they said the princes of the Philistines, "What do these Hebrews here?" They, you know, you get the picture, right? What are these guys doing here? And then later they said, now Achish says, "Isn't this David?" And he's proud. He's thought, you know, here we have, it's like, this guy, he's used to be over there, and now he has intelligence on them. He knows about their battle plans. He knows about these things. And you know, I think Achish felt as though he was like a trophy almost. You know, now he's defected. He's converted. He's come to our side. And, you know, we can go against Saul. And it's like, you know, and to take David into battle and would be almost flaunting that in the face of Saul, that, hey, you know, your best champion now is on our team, kind of a thing. But the other guys said, "Well, wait a second. We don't trust. Isn't this the one who said, you know, they sang the song, 'Saul slayed his thousands and David his tens thousands'?" And in my margin of my Bible, I wrote, that really got around, that saying. You know, it was... It wasn't just Saul and the Israelites that heard that. Obviously, this was a hit, you know, song around for a while. And so, and what they're saying is, you know, David's a dangerous man. And basically, they say this: if he wants to get back in good with King Saul, what can he do? Well, he can turn on us in battle and hand us over to Saul and ingratiate himself back into Saul's favor. So they said, we don't want him here. But there's a thought there in that question that I want to pose to us. Because when they said, "What do these Hebrews here?" You know, so many times, strangely, the world has a better idea, I think, sometimes of where Christians ought to be and what Christians ought to be doing than Christians do. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, sometimes Christians are doing things and the world looks at them and they say, what are they doing that? Is that, you know, that doesn't fit. What's a Hebrew doing here? They don't fit with us. And sometimes, I think sometimes the world looks at Christians and they think, you're a Christian and this is what you're doing? They understand how a Christian life ought to look, right? They know what is right in the sight of God. They know what the Bible says about a lot of things. The world does know these things. And they may not hold to them themselves, but they expect that we do. And when they see us, you know, siding up with the world, they have to ask themselves, what are they doing here? I read the story once about I don't think I've ever seen this show. Maybe I have once, I don't know. But there's that show they call American Idol. And one time there was a guest judge on the show. It's like all these shows, you know, whether it's Got Talent or, you know, these things where people come on and they perform and they judge them and so forth. And you don't have to admit it, but some of you know the name Gene Simmons. He was, of course, with the band Kiss. And anyway, he was a guest judge on this show, American Idol. And there was a person who came on to sing, and his name was, I wrote it down, his name was, let me find it, Jeff Johnson. Jeff Johnson happened to be a youth pastor and a worship leader in a church. And he got up and he sang his pop song, and the judges gave their comments, and this is what Gene Simmons, he knew the man's background, and this is a quote. Gene Simmons said to Jeff Johnson, if you sing pop lyrics, you're going to have a problem with your ministry, because rock and roll, by definition, and popular music, is about sexuality and demons. And I think Gene Simmons knows a little bit about what he's talking about. And so he basically said, you know, what are you doing here? This is not the realm you're supposed to be in. And so sometimes I think we have to be careful about when we're out of place, the world knows it. But anyway, David was under dreadful suspicion. And so they said, we don't want David. And you know, Achish had to go back and kind of apologize and send him back to Ziklag. And that brings us to the third point. David was not only in a difficult situation, not only was he under dreadful suspicion, but he was given a delightful suggestion. In verse 6, we see where Achish comes now and he says, this is kind of quite a statement he makes here. He says to David, he called David, said unto him, surely as the Lord liveth. Now this is Achish talking, right? He's using the Lord's name and everything. He says, as the Lord liveth, thou hast been upright in thy going out and thy coming in with me in the host. Coming in with me in the host is good in my sight. For I have not found evil in thee since the day of thy coming unto me unto this day. Nevertheless, the Lord's favor thee not. So, you know, when David asked him, well, what have I done? He said, no, you've been like an angel of God to me. You know, he gives him quite a flowery review. And then he says, you know, the generals here, they're not for it. And you know, he's the king, but he has to kind of listen a little bit to his generals. So he says to David, I'm afraid you can't come. You have to go. And David he feigns as though he's disappointed, you know. He's like, well, what have I done? You know? And it's kind of like when, you know, when your daughter comes home and your teenage daughter and she says, I had to break up with my boyfriend. And you have to pretend to be disappointed, you know. But inside you're going, yes. And I think that's the way David was. I think David was like, you know, I can only imagine he's thinking, whew, you know, this is great. We don't have to go to battle. You know, can't you? I mean, wouldn't you think that's what David's thinking? But of course he says, well, what do you mean we can't go to battle? Why not? What did we do? You know, and it's kind of a performance. But I imagine when he went back and he told his men, it was really a, you know, a moment where they had to say, wow, that was close. It made me think of Psalms 124. Let's just look at that psalm. It's a very short psalm, but these words kind of, I think, are appropriate. Psalms 124. The 124th psalm, it says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quickly when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us and the stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare and of the fowler, and the snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Now, that's not a psalm that's directly, you know, it wasn't like David wrote that this day, but I'm saying that this is kind of like how I think the people felt, David and his men. You know, if it hadn't been for the Lord, wow, we were really in a bad situation. We were really in a big dilemma. But the Lord, like a you know, a bird let loose from the snare, he let us go. And so he got out of this dreadful situation. So what happens? Well, let's look a little bit into chapter 30, because the story kind of continues. So they get out of this situation. And truly, God was gracious to untangle them from this dilemma. But then we read in verse 1 of chapter 30, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south of Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David said to the people that were with him, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. That's quite a statement. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And it says in verse 7, David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Now we'll stop there. It tells us in verse 8, he inquires of the Lord. But basically what I want to show you is this. So the story goes on. After they get freed from their dilemma, they go back to Ziklag. And they get there and the city's burnt. It's scorched. Burnt to the ground. And yet there's, you know, there's not any like scorched bones of their loved ones. They look for that, but they're not there, and they're taken. They're gone. They don't know where. And so now, you know, the men by this time, and I can kind of almost sympathize a little bit, because let's be honest, in a way they wanted to stone David, right? Now, you might say that's kind of hard. I mean, David's wives were taken too. He's lost everything as well. But, you know, I'm sure the men must have thought, how did we get here? Whose fault is this? Well, it's David's. He brought us here. He's put us in this land of the Philistines. He got us almost into a battle with Israel. We escaped that. Now we come back home and look what's happened. Right? And so, by this point, they're ready to stone David. And then, finally, we read. So, David, he was, you know, in a difficult situation. You don't need to know my whole outline. The point is this. Here we find him, finally, after this year and 4 months in the Philistine land, finally, we see him encouraging himself in the Lord and inquiring of God again. Because for that whole time he was there, his actions were a little bit not very commendable. And he was living, as I said a couple weeks ago, he was living a double life. But now we find David coming back, unlike Saul. You know, when Saul got to the point where he was in a big dilemma, he was in a bad situation, instead of... Now, we know that he tried to seek the Lord, but the Lord wasn't speaking to him, and so he went to this woman with a familiar spirit. That wasn't what David did. David inquires of God. David seeks God. David, first of all, it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. What does that mean? Now, we've seen this phrase before when Jonathan encouraged David in the Lord. And essentially, I'll give it to you quickly. We're almost through. But essentially, what David does is that he strengthens himself in the promises of God. Right? I think what that's saying is that David reminds himself that, hey, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, and He's the one who's anointed me. He's the one who's called me to be king. He has a plan for my life. And so God's delivered me out of the hand of Saul. God delivered me from all the mistakes I made with the Philistines and King Achish. And now my men want to stone me, but I know God's still not done with me. And my wife and my children have been taken, but I need God. And so he came back to the promises of God. He came back to the encouragement that only he could find in the Lord. Right? And that was the only thing he should do. That was the best thing he could do. And that's what all of us need to do. Is when we get into these terrible situations, when we find ourselves in dilemmas, and sometimes of our own making, and when we get down that road and we look back and we say, wow, you know, the Lord did... He was gracious because we're still alive. You know, there was times when we really were in jeopardy and you know, we were backslid on God and He could have cut us off, but He didn't. And now it's time to wake up and let's get back to the Lord. And I think that's where David came to. He came to the place where he's like, wow, that was the grace of God. And I'm so glad we didn't have to go fight Israel. And now I'm in a bad situation again. And I know why we're here. Because I brought us here. Because I didn't turn to God in the first place. But I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'm going to turn back to God. And so that's what David does. David encourages himself. And he rehearses. Somebody said this. It's a kind of a nice thought. It says, the promises of God are so abundant that the child of God, no matter what the situation, has a promise to rehearse. Do you get that? There's so many promises. You know, no matter what situation you come into, you can, as you read your Bible, as you encourage yourself in the things of the Lord and the Scriptures, there's so many promises that you can thank God for. You can rehearse them, and they lift your burden, they lighten your load. You remind yourself that God is good and God is able, and you know, the Lord has a plan for my life. And he rehearsed these things. He encouraged himself. And then he prayed. He sought the Lord. He inquired of God. And in verse 8 it says, he inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? This is the old David, what we used to know. When he would come up against a situation, he would ask the Lord, what should I do? He'd kind of got away from that, but David's come back. And that's really where we're going to stop the story tonight. We'll pick it up next week. But the thought that we see here, and you know, this morning, just to be completely frank with you, probably this morning had a stronger spiritual instructions for us, and that message will be online if you missed it. But what can we see here tonight? We just see that David got in a big dilemma of his own making. The Lord was gracious, got him out of it. There was more trouble, but he didn't do what Saul did. He didn't replicate Saul's error. He sought after God. And we're going to find out that he recovers his family and the family of his men. They go after the Amalekites. I'll just tell you the story because some of you are like, you know, on pins and needles. What happens, you know? fear not. They get him back, okay? But it's because David got back to walking with God again. Let's stand and we'll pray.